First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. We have a very interesting verse here. It really is a key verse for apologetics. Now, apologetics is the ability to answer arguments. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So the scripture here tells us that we should not in any way cease to give God His holy place. And this is an interesting verse because in Isaiah chapter 8 tells us, don't be afraid of those who are that are on the outside. If you're going to have any fear, fear God. And sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And so thereby, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that lieth within you. Now, if you notice up on the screen, thank you, Patrick, we have our little outline. So all of you are part of this class. And we look here, and you'll see, and I don't know if you can read it that closely, but yeah, Brother Dave, thank you. You're ready to give. You got some homework here, and we're going to see if you are able to learn John chapter 3, verse 16. And if you notice there, that is our memory verse that we are doing for this week. So if you would, I would like you to put your name at the top of the paper and to the best of your ability, write out John chapter 3, verse 16, okay? So even up in the booth and anybody in the nursery or whatever, they're welcome to do this. And again, one of the things that we're trying to do is to make sure that everybody gets to hear this. And of course, everybody can see this on Facebook as well as nursery workers can do this. So John chapter 3, verse 16. I'll give you about a couple minutes to see how well you do, and we'll collect those. And if it takes you more than 2 to 3 minutes, that means you probably don't know it, okay? So John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. And if it helps you, the first word is for. And the second word is God. And the third word, no, I won't go through this. All right. John chapter 3, verse 16. This is a very key verse. And what's good about this verse is a lot of people know the verse. And they may not be able to quote it, but they know it when they hear it. We have in football stadiums many times when, at least years ago, I don't know if I've seen it recently, but somebody's standing in the stands with John 3:16. All right. Give you another couple seconds. And Brother Dave, since you passed those out, I'll have Brother Gage. You're done with, aren't you, Pastor Nathan? So do you mind collecting those from everyone? All right, so some of you I see still writing. Yes, put your name on there because I want to know if you know this verse. And if you don't know the verse, that doesn't make you a bad person, but it means you're going to have to work a little harder on that verse. Okay, so put your name, serial number, Social Security, all the things that are necessary for you to be checked by the government. Okay, yes. Well, if you don't know well enough to write it with me, no, I'm teasing. I'll try to be careful about that. All right. All right. That's right. So. All right. Very good. Okay, do I have everybody's? Okay, almost. Okay, well, go ahead and turn them in anyway, because we'll see how you did on it. Let's try to say that together. All right, here we go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, very good. Now, your other piece of homework was to pray about something. And that is to pray about taking this training for evangelism. All right? Did you have your name on there, buddy?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. All right. Way to go. Okay. You know, that's the gospel in a verse. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So if you couldn't even remember anything else, take them to that verse and explain that verse. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit, and I'm kind of scattered in my presentation this evening because there's a lot that I want to talk about. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was fear. And sometimes we get afraid to witness. I often am a little afraid. I find myself in a situation where I'm thinking, well, maybe they're going to get mad at me, or maybe I'm going to be awkward. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. And one of the things that we see in that verse that we looked at in 1 Peter chapter 3 is that we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We need to recognize God's presence in our lives. And I'd rather be a little afraid and than to have the possibility that I did not take an opportunity that I should have taken. Because you know who I'm really answerable to? And that's to God. And I need to have confidence in the gospel. Next week, we're going to look at the power of the gospel. And we're going to see that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. And we have to realize it isn't us, it's the gospel. You know, we need to also recognize or distinguish between the rejection of the message and the rejection of the messenger. So be very, very careful, because somebody could reject you, and you know they have that right to do so, but God help them if they reject the message. And so we need to keep that in mind. And really just constantly keep before us the opportunities of witnessing. You know, there's joy in obedience when we do what God tells us to do. Somebody could be kept from hell. That's incredible. That it gives us desire many times to know the Bible more. For instance, we're learning these verses. Now, people sometimes have enough Bible knowledge of evangelism that they recognize it when they hear it, but they're not able to take it and present it to somebody else. So it will help you in your Bible reading. It will help you in your prayer life. And you say, God, I don't know what to say. You know, and you just ask God to help you. And believe it or not, some people are like, thank you for sharing that with me. And Satan would get us thinking that people don't want to hear it. And there are a lot of people that don't want to hear it. And we have to pray for wisdom on that. Now, one of the things that will help you is to set a time to go. Say, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to share my faith. And one of the things that we're not doing with this evangelism training is saying, okay, on a certain time or a certain night or a certain day, we're going to have evangelism. We're asking you to carve out maybe a couple hours of your week and say, I will share my faith. And it really is not going to have to be determined by your distance. It could be determined by you taking time at work, or you're taking your time in your neighborhood. So have a time to go and make yourself accountable to someone. And I want to show you a few verses. Go over to the book of Mark, chapter 6. The book of Mark, chapter 6. And we're going to see a pattern in Scripture. In Mark, chapter 6, the Bible tells us in verse 6, Mark, chapter 6, verse 6, that Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12. And he began to send them out. How? So he knew that people are more courageous when they're around somebody else, as well as it can protect your reputation. Someone could accuse you of something. And so send them out two by two. The book of Luke, chapter 10. I think I at least made reference of this last week. Luke chapter 10, it tells us that Jesus also not only sent out the 12, but he sent out the 70. And it says in verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. We're told in the book of Acts, chapter 13, in Acts chapter 13, the apostle Paul, or Saul, was sent out to go to the mission field. And we're told in Acts chapter 13 that it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, who? Barnabas and Saul. He did not send them out independently by themselves. He knew that there was great benefit in having others with him. You'll actually see a very interesting thing, that when the Apostle Paul goes and establishes churches, when he traveled, many times he brought people like Timothy and with him. And just an incredible thing to realize that. If you look over to chapter 15, when there was a disagreement between Barnabas and Saul, in Acts chapter 15, verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul didn't think that was a good idea, so there was a contention between them. And so we're told that Barnabas took Mark. In verse 40, Paul chose Silas. Now, people have a tendency, especially in our society, to be lone rangers. And we have a tendency, well, I don't want anybody with me. I just want to go do it. Well, there is great strength and courage when a person has somebody going with them. So one of the things that we want to do in our evangelism class, we want to get people to partner up with somebody. And in the next 3.5 months, to say, okay, we are going to partner up and we are going to not just simply learn the gospel, but we're going to, even if we already know the gospel presentation that we're going to go over, we are also being willing to train somebody. So you're either a trainer or a trainee. And I just want to mention something. Again, I'm quoting this evangelism explosion that I mentioned. And I want to say something that I said Wednesday night. When Christ called his apostles, he first prayed all night. And then he chose them individually. And an apostle was sent forth. And so the writer of this curriculum says, we would therefore recommend that after much prayer, you select people whom you will take with you to evangelize. So I hope that would be something that you would do. Say, now, Lord, who should I train in the next 3.5 months? Now, when you do that, don't just get up in Sunday school class. I'm looking for somebody to be my partner. What did Jesus do? Jesus went to them individually and chose them one by one. And the fact is, we will not be as effective if I just get up here and say, we're going to have a class, sign up. We'll be more effective if we have people to be our accountability partners. I read to you last week that the writer of this curriculum said, begin by selecting two people. So in other words, it's not always bad to have three people visiting. Now, he does suggest something that I have found to be true. Probably three men seem a little heavy to go to somebody's door. But you might be better off to have, maybe you want to be a trainer. Say, I'm going to take a husband and a wife with me. Or maybe there is somebody that you want to select that can go with you. And this allows us to be able to train women in evangelism. Because you know what, ladies? You have evangelistic outreaches just as much as we do. And I would encourage you to do something like that. I wouldn't necessarily make your partner your spouse, because our whole purpose is to try to train others to be able to give the gospel to somebody else. And as this writer said, and I quoted last Wednesday, if you take your spouse, it's a dead-end street, because now you have just trained each other. Well, at some point you're going to want to have the wife training another woman, a man training another man. Now, I'm looking at the sign-up sheet that we had, and I have a question for you, class. You know, I'm not up here preaching a sermon. I'm teaching a class. And I'm glad. You say, we don't have many people here tonight. You know what? This is more people than I've had in some of my classes. Here is my question. Is there anybody here that not sign up that intended to sign up? Anyone like that at all? It said Herpsters. So I guess that includes you. Okay, good. All right. Anybody else? I do have that on here. You did. All right. So very good. The class we're doing. Were you here last Sunday night? You were? Okay. We're doing an evangelism class on training evangelism. So are you wanting to sign up? Well, you think about it, yes. What's that? You do, okay. So there's Dowie. Took me a while to learn how to spell your name. D-A-W-E, Dowie, which is David, which is a great name. So you can call me Pastor David or Pastor Dowie. All right. So, Anyone else? I just want to make sure that I'm not trying to put any pressure on somebody that didn't sign up and didn't want to sign up. All right. Now, I do know that you two said you were going to sign up. Probably is. I made a copy of it. And so we're talking about Patrick and Sandy. All right. Anyone else? I want to make sure before I say what I'm going to say. Yes, Jeff. Oh, Jeff and Rachel? Good. Okay, that's all right. It's kind of like making announcements. You know, you never know when you make announcements that anybody's going to pick up on it. Things come up, people leave, or someone has to go get a drink or something. Okay, so Rachel. Okay, good. That's wonderful. That's really good. So who I have is this. Okay, I have anyone else? I don't want to cut anybody short. Okay. I have Lisa Hyman, who's not here tonight. I have Joe and Emma. I have Chris and Gladys that are going to take this evangelism. Then Pastor Nathan and Karis and Dowie and Patrick and Sandy and Jeff and Rachel. Am I missing anybody? Okay, good. So we got... Yes, you have a question? Are you signing up? Well, if you are, I have the wrong list, so I'll write this down. Mary Beth. Very good. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All right, lucky number. All right, now, the question I have is this, and I'm just trying to make this as practical as I can with a Sunday night service. So my question is, are you, and before you answer this, let's try to clarify, are you a trainer or are you a trainee? All right? Now, by a trainer, I'm saying that you have taken our training for evangelism. Okay? Because they know how to give the Romans Road gospel presentation, which is a very good presentation. Or you may know how to use, the Netcaster's formula for evangelism. Or you may have done the Exchange Bible Study. As a matter of fact, Brother Jeff Musgrave has an app. Has anyone ever used that app for evangelism? That's a great tool. You know, you can actually send an email to somebody on that. But what I'm talking about is this training for evangelism. So, and probably if you know how to use another method of evangelism, we might end up using you as a trainer. But at the same time, what I'm trying to do is get a sense of who that would be. Okay, so I know in the case of Lisa Hyman, she would be a trainer or trainee. Brother Joe and Emma, trainer or trainee? You never took it, so trainee. Okay, so it's Joe Nimisker. Because I know you have taken it before. So Emma has done that. Okay, very good. Let's see, what about, okay, I know Chris and Gladys have not taken this before, so I know what they're doing. Okay, and how do you want to do it, Pastor Nathan? I've taken him out visiting with me, and we've done visiting. Okay, so trainer, trainee, possibly. Okay, we can talk about that because we really need to know. We have to have enough people to train these trainees. How about you, Dowie? You've never done this. I know you came from a school that was very strong on evangelism. Okay. I'll keep you in mind on that as well, okay? Very good. Okay, very good. They're joining next Sunday, by the way. Isn't that great? So, got to hear his testimony. This is a wonderful testimony of salvation. As a matter of fact, we got to hear all of your testimonies here in a couple weeks. All right? Let's see. Patrick and Sandy are trainers. I know they have done that. Jeff and Rachel. Okay. All right. And I'll keep that in mind as well on that. And then how about you, Mary Beth? Okay. So it'll be a trainee. Okay. So what I'm saying here is this. Now I wrote these names on different places that would not be, I'll be able to figure it out in a little later. So my question to you, if you are a trainer, who are you going to train? All right? And if you are a trainee, you see who are the trainers, you may want to go and talk to somebody. But what I'm getting at is this. Approach the individuals personally. And it could be somebody here that didn't say, I don't want to do this. And but all they can say is no, right? Say, would you let me in evangelism? So our homework is we're going to talk about the gospel outline that I have that we'll go through. But let me add something to that. Get a partner by next Sunday, okay? Now, we don't necessarily have to start visiting by next Sunday. Because remember, our goal is that each person, the trainer and the trainee, should be able to give the gospel presentation at least 3 times. All right? So let's pray for that. And I really want to make prayer a part of this. Because I really see that God could do some great things through what we're trying to do. How did your foundation class go this morning, Pastor Nick? All right, so he had some folks that are in his class, and they went over assurance of salvation. So you can see one of the things that we want to do with this, and I don't know if I've thought about this before, but you know, sometimes you go and you talk to somebody, and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, how do you know that? And they give you a biblical answer, but they are not tied into a church. This would be a great opportunity for us to say, okay, hey, we're going to have a class in a few months, and we'll get back with you on that. Now, obviously, if somebody accepts Christ, let's do it. Let's do some discipleship with them. All right? So, I really see that this can be, I don't want this to be a dead-end thing where, okay, you know, there's a song I always used to teach the song that Jim Nason taught me, you know, and he said, we took a class on evangelism by a man named Truett. Now we know how, but we still won't do it. You know, I don't want that. I don't want somebody say, oh, I know how to do it, but I don't do it. You know, it's kind of like D.L. Moody, I believe I heard it quoted, that D.L. Moody had somebody come up to him and said, Mr. Moody, I don't like the way you evangelize. And he said, well, how do you evangelize? Well, I don't. He said, well, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it. So let's not just simply have it up here. Let's really be praying for opportunity. One of the things that we're trying to do in our Sunday schools, I know I'm doing, is asking the question, what evangelistic opportunities did you have last week? Now, sometimes people are like, I didn't have any evangelistic opportunities. But I hope that improves. I hope we start seeing that people are hearing the gospel. I shared with our class what happened on our plane ride this week. And it's a great opportunity. And Pastor Nathan had an opportunity to at least share a little bit of the gospel with somebody. Or at least gave them a track. Did you give them a track? They didn't. I had two people that just sit there and looked at me. They hadn't wanted to have nothing to do with me. So I eventually did give one the track. But I won't even go there. But it's an interesting thing that we have the opportunity many times to try to get the gospel out to one another. So, I want to talk a little bit in just a short amount of time. Why am I so bent on this? This has been my drive for 37 years that we have an evangelistic church. Well, let me just mention a few things. And if you're taking notes, you can take some quick notes over this because I'm not going to labor the point. But why should we win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, number one, because of the worth of a soul. And the verse that you can look on that is Mark chapter 8, 35 through 37. And Jesus said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Now this is Jesus speaking. And he says, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall man give in exchange for his soul? Now, from God's standpoint, the most important thing that could happen today is someone gets saved, more than winning the Super Bowl. And we have to understand, now I'm hoping Kansas City wins the Super Bowl. You find out, don't tell me. I'm in a time warp. I need to find out later. So, but here's the thing. God sees the worth of a soul. And we have to understand that that is very important to God. Did God command us to win souls? Yes or no? Anybody know a verse? Okay, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go and preach the gospel. We talked about this last week. Ye shall be witnesses. And God said, these are our marching orders. And as we showed last week, it wasn't just to the preachers. And so it's important that we win souls because God said so. Another reason is this. Sinners are going to hell. Sinners are going to hell. Now, I am just always staggered by looking up a website that shows the population of the world. Now, according to the population of the world, now, of course, evolutionists, they point back to about 6,000 BC or so as when life began, man began. But they'll sometimes talk about way before billions and billions. But really, 8,000 BC, one website said there were 5 million people on the earth. In 500 BC, there were 100 million people on earth. In 500 AD, there were 200 million people on earth. Now, do you know when the first billion people were counted on earth? Anybody have any idea? Would it surprise you if I said 1804? I mean, that's recent history if you're a historian. Do you know when 2 billion people were on earth? 1927. That's amazing. 3 billion people was in 1960. 4 billion people were on Earth in 1974. 14-year difference. 5 billion people were on Earth when I started this church. 1987. Actually, it was 86 when we started. 6 billion people are on Earth since 1999. 7 billion people were on Earth in 2011. So I looked at it. You look it up. When did the Earth have a population of 8 billion people? It was in November of 2022. Now, so right now there are 8.1 billion people on Earth. Now, you look it up and you see a time clock, and of course they're just estimating here, but today, and I did this at 3:45 p.m. today. 242 million people were born today. And 242,000 today. 15 million were born this year. Now, let's think about death here a little bit. Today, 109,550 people died today. And that's 6 million this year. Now, when you stop and think about that, and I was watching this time clock, and I took my time calculator, and as a matter of fact, I got it up right now. It says 4.72 people died in 10 seconds. So every 2 seconds, approximately, somebody dies. How many funerals have we been to this last 2 weeks? 3. We went, was it 3 weeks, 2 weeks? Last 2 weeks. We went to 3 funerals. And I'm just saying to you that sinners are dying. And this is not just some emotionalism I'm talking about. This is reality. And if we're to understand our conversation with people we've talked to and you've talked to, they're not saved. Many of them are not saved. It's interesting the different kinds of funerals you've gone to. We went to a Catholic funeral. We've been to a very worldly funeral. We went to a very godly funeral. But people are dying. The field is calling us. Matthew 9 tells us the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. The judgment seat of Christ. What a motivation. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ?" You know what he was saying? Our biggest crown is when I get to heaven, you'll be there. You know, we tend to think of crowns, but that's a great reward. I'm always amazed, frankly, how many times somebody dies and, oh yeah, they prayed a prayer. Well, I sure hope they did. But I'm not too convinced, you know, that some people that these preachers are praying into are preaching into heaven aren't there. There's joy when we win someone to Christ. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now, and he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. And you could apply that, obviously, to soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. Now, we win people over, but wouldn't it be wonderful to win people to Christ? Heaven, it tells us in Luke 15:7, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Jesus was a great soul winner. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. And Paul says in Romans 13:12, and just to close this out, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now is the accepted time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the day of salvation. Now, how is God going to view His church when He says, what kind of evangelistic outreaches have you had this week? And everyone just says, I don't know. Now, I am just as guilty. I am not pointing a finger at you. I am just as guilty. And I have had opportunities and I didn't take those opportunities. So, what I'm getting at is this, that there's a real need. And if we don't do it, who is? The Mormon church going to do it? Yeah, they'll do it all right and give a cultish false religion. What about Jehovah's Witnesses, man? They're out there, but they're teaching a work salvation. And that's why we have to understand the gospel. And so, I'm just saying to you that we need to do this. And I would be negligent of my duty as a preacher of a man, as a man of God, a preacher of the gospel, if I did not try to train evangelists. Now, let me do something. Can I do that? And this just a little illustration. Pastor Nathan, do you mind coming up here and standing right here? So I go and I win Pastor Nathan to Christ. And amen. I just want a preacher to the Lord. And Kimberly, you mind coming up here? You know, and Kimberly, she's a school teacher and she talks to those children about Jesus, don't you? Yeah, so man, I just won a school teacher that's a Christian to the Lord. You know, and Anne, you mind coming up here? Man, I won her to the Lord. I didn't really. But she was actually saved right around the same time I was. Yeah, you're coming all the way up here. All right. So I just won a pastor's wife to the Lord. And I love her. All right. Caroline, can I win you to Christ? Can you come here? Man, I just won Caroline. She's such a happy, smiling girl. At least to me, she is. When she turns away from me, she may frown. I don't know, but all right. So I just won 4 people to Christ. Now, how long does that take? Well, it takes time. Sometimes you try to give the gospel to people. Sometimes it takes days or weeks or months or years. And Dowie, I got to lead this guy from Burma to the Lord here. Come over here, Dowie. Dowie, he's going to be a preacher too. Going to be a missionary. Got to hear this testimony. Now tell them I led you to the Lord next week, okay? All right. Now how many did I lead to the Lord? All right, you guys can go sit down. Okay, now, let's try something different here. This is our goal. Now, I'm going to lead you again to the Lord, okay? You only get saved once, but, you know. But now, I just led him to the Lord. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to go and lead one of these people to the Lord. Can you do that? And I'll have Mary Beth. Can you come here? I just led her to the Lord. Mary Beth, pray for you a lot. And wait a minute, you're only supposed to get one. Well, why don't you guys sit down for a minute? Okay, you're going to ruin my illustration here. All right, now, I'm going to lead five people to the Lord. Now, we're all going to go and lead one of you to the Lord. Can you go get someone to come up? And if anybody's... All right. And Gladys, can you come here? I led Gladys to the Lord. Chris and Gladys. All right. Man, you got to come up here. Emma, you're just obstinate, aren't you? Okay, now I led to the Lord. I've led two people. No. I led him to the Lord. I led her to the Lord. Okay, now let's all go lead someone else to the Lord, okay? Just pick somebody out of the crowd and bring them up here. Rusty, you want to come up here? No, you guys, Chris, oh, you're going to go get somebody. You got to come back up after you've done that. What? Did you get somebody? All right, now, I've now led three people to the Lord, right? How many did you lead to the Lord? Three, okay. So I've led four, counting you. One more time. Everybody, wait a minute. We've won the world. Now, I want to just say something here. You see what happens? It is better. Let me just say this, since most of the congregation's this way. These are all heathens here. But maybe. Let me just say something here. It is better to win a soul winner than to win a soul. Because if we were, theoretically, and it unfortunately doesn't happen this way always, but if we were to, in the next 3.5 months, the group that we have, what did I say, 13 of us? If all 13 of us were to win someone to Christ, then we would have a lot of people for that foundations class. And then we train somebody else who goes and trains somebody else. It's really something we have to keep in mind. Christianity is adding while the world is multiplying. Now, unfortunately, not everybody we witness to gets saved. But we want to give them a clear opportunity to make a legitimately logical decision for Christ. And even if I don't win them to Christ, the Holy Spirit's able to take that 10 years from now and bring them to the Savior. Question. Okay, you can all sit down that way. And then I'm going to be done. Here's my question to you. How many of you got saved the very first time somebody witnessed to you? So my wife did. Anybody else? So my point is this. This is God's work. And God can save people. But all he's looking for someone to just go. So I'm saying to you, don't be discouraged. I refuse to let myself get discouraged. And I think about our ministry and I think of the hundreds of people that have come through these doors. And it doesn't seem that big of a thing because we're still a small group. But it's a wonderful thing to realize that some of those people did accept Christ. Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us to be serious about evangelism. Lord, we're not very smart and we're not always very capable. We stumble in our words. But we ask, God, that you would just help us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we'll praise you for what you do. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So let me encourage you next week, pray about who you could partner up with. And it would be a lot easier if I could say next week, this person with this person, this person with this person, so on and so forth. As opposed to me trying to play God and make everybody appointed to one another. All right? Well, Pastor Nathan has an announcement that he wants to make.